If you've got your Bibles with you this morning, we're going to be looking not in Revelation chapter 2. Shock. Everybody's here is shocked. We've been in Revelation for quite a while, and we're not finished yet, but we're having a break this week. We're going to look at Psalm 150. It just struck me this week, as I was preparing for the passage in Revelation, I just got led away from that passage to this passage in Psalm 150. And I believe this morning that the Lord wants to remind us about worship. He wants to remind us about the proper place of worship in our lives and in our hearts, the proper place that that God should have in our lives and our hearts this morning. So if you've got your Bibles with you, we're in the book of Psalms, and we're right at the end of that book, the last psalm, Psalm 150. It's a very short psalm. We're going to read all of it. It's six verses for us to look at. So it says this from Psalm 150 and verse 1. Praise the Lord, praise God in his sanctuary. Praise him in his mighty heavens. Praise him for his acts of power. Praise him for his surpassing greatness. Praise him with the sounding of the trumpet. Praise him with the harp and the lyre. Praise him with tambourine and dancing. Praise him with the strings and the flute. Praise him with a clash of cymbals. Praise him with resounding cymbals. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. The last statement of the last of these 150 psalms is this in verse 6. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. This book of worship is completed with the resounding declaration of praise to God. Even the quickest glance through this psalm shows it to be a really praise-centered song of worship to God. We can see that every line begins with a call to praise God. So after all that has been said in the book of Psalms, and there have been high points and there have been low points, especially for David, who wrote many of these psalms, this psalm stands at the end of the book as a summary of it all. Every blessing received and every challenge that has been faced, and all that is left is simply to praise God. Nothing else seems to matter here. It's what we were made to do. It's the highest expression of our faith, the highest expression of truth. It declares that we believe that God is everything that he says that he is, that he is worthy of our praise. Psalm 150 gives us some pointers for our worship as we look at it. It tells us that he is to be praised everywhere, that he is to be praised for all that he does, that he is to be praised for all that he is, that he is to be praised with everything that we have, and that he is to be praised by everyone. The word praise is used 13 times. I'm sure you wanted to know that, but there you go. 13 times in these six short verses. There's no mention in this psalm, as there is in so many other psalms, of the difficulties of life. There's no reference here to negative feelings or troubles that a person might have. It's not because these things don't matter. It's not because God doesn't care. Nor is it that we don't experience these things, or that we should pretend that we don't experience these things. But this, here at the end of this book of Psalms, is a declaration that God is greater. The call is to praise God, whatever we might feel like. However much or however little we might have in the cupboard. We praise God first and allow him to take care of the rest. That's why Jesus, when he talked about anxiety and worrying, we looked at these verses a few weeks back. He used the most basic things of life, food and clothing, and he said this: seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. That's in Matthew chapter 6, verse 33. So this morning, we're looking at this call to praise God as an encouragement to see our lives and to see our praise for God as a bedrock for all that we are. Not only our faith, but also our whole lives. So we've got a number of questions that we can ask and answer in response to praise this morning from this psalm. The first is this: where should we praise God? Where should we praise God? Verse 1 gives us an answer, and it says this: praise the Lord, praise God in his sanctuary, praise him in the mighty heavens. This is another way of saying anywhere and everywhere. From the intimacy and quietness of our hearts alone before God, to our coming together to worship, to the vast openness of the heavens, his creation, we are to praise him. Praise is an acknowledgement of God. It's a response to the love of God, a declaration of who he is and what he does, and a gratitude for his goodness to us. We should get into the habit of saying thank you to God for his mercies and his blessings, saying that we trust him when our hearts sink at the thought of difficulty. That's love for God, being thankful for blessing, trusting in difficulty. We're to praise him everywhere. And this is just as well at the moment when we can't meet together. It's not that meeting together isn't important. It is. We long for the day when we can do that. But our praise for God and our meeting with him is not dependent upon geography. It's not dependent upon location. We can praise God where we are today. We can praise God wherever we are today. And with the where comes the when. And with the everywhere comes the always. Not only can we praise God anywhere, we can praise him anytime. In Psalm 145, verses 1 and 2, it says, I will exalt you, my God, the King. I will praise your name forever and ever. Every day I will praise you and extol your name forever and ever. There's no time and there's no place where we cannot praise God. Do we only praise him in church? Or do our minds wander when we should be praising him in church? If so, something's wrong. We have a wrong view of who God is. God who made the heavens and the earth, God who made everything, deserves our praise everywhere and all the time. It's our declaration of reality that God is real, that he deserves our praise. So where should we praise God? God should be praised everywhere. The next thing is this: why should we praise God? There's two parts to this question, two parts, two answers to this question. The first is this, in verse 2, the second half of verse 2, where it says this: praise him for his surpassing greatness. Or to put it another way, praise him because of who he is. God should be praised because of who he is. He is worth our praise. He is worthy of our praise. If you look up what praise means, it has to do with admiration and respect. It clearly has to do with worship and celebration and recognizing the worth of something. These are all responses that we might have to greatness. God is ultimately great, greater than anything else. Obviously, if we talk about worth or value, it's not in the monetary sense here, but rather in the sense of importance. God has ultimate worth. He has ultimate importance. He is God, the source of everything. If you see something great or pure or splendid or magnificent, you praise it. How much more with God? How much more with God, who is everything good? He is everything great and magnificent. He is worthy of our praise. He alone is worth our lives lived for Him. Listen to how praise rises in Paul as he considers the greatness of God in Romans chapter 11 from verse 33. He says, "Oh, the depth of the riches of the wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable are His judgments and His paths beyond tracing out. Who has ever known the mind of the Lord? Or who has ever been His counselor? Who has ever given to God that God should repay him? For from him and through him and to him are all things. To him be glory forever and ever." As Paul considers some of the aspects of God, some of the things to do with his nature, praise rises in his heart. Love for God grows in our hearts the more we know about Him. You can't love somebody that you don't know. How do we know God? Well, first and foremost, we know Him through His revealed word. But it goes beyond that as we get to know Him, as we experience Him in our lives. As we see His beauty and majesty and holiness, our love grows for Him. When we get a correct understanding of who God is, love and then praise will rise in our hearts. So that's where the Bible comes in. We read about God, what He's like, who He is. He is love, He is merciful, He is good, He is kind, He is faithful. He is without blemish or spot or flaw of any kind. What is not to be worshipped and praised? Why should we praise God? We should praise God for who He is. But there's also a second part to that question, or a second answer to it. Why should we praise God? Part two, if you like. The second answer to this question is this, and this is in the first part of verse 2. Where it says, praise Him for His acts of power. We are to praise God for what He does. What God does can't really be separated from who He is. Indeed, what God does flows from who He is. We must be careful, however, that we don't just love what God does, but rather we love God for what He does, as well as who He is. The better we know what God does, the more we will love Him. Love for God grows as we're thankful for what He's done. But first we need to know, of course, what He has done. Let's start with the most basic. In Acts chapter 17, verse 25, it says this: God is not served by human hands, as if He needed anything, because He Himself gives all men life and breath and everything else. The very life that we have, the actual air that we breathe, is a gift from God. We sing that song that declares it's Your breath in our lungs that we pour out in praise. How often are we thankful for the air that we have to breathe? How often do we just take it for granted? We should be reminded with every breath that we breathe that it is God who provides for us, that it's God who is there keeping us alive, sustaining us, and providing everything that we have. When the Israelites stood at the entrance to the land that God had promised them, he gave them a warning that they should not forget God. In Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 10 and 12, it says this. This is what God spoke to the people. When the Lord your God brings you into the land, he swore to your fathers, to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, to give you a land with large flourishing cities that you did not build, houses filled with all kinds of good things that you did not provide, wells that you did not dig, and vineyards and olive groves that you did not plant. Then, when you eat and are satisfied, be careful that you do not forget the Lord who brought you out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. Notice here what Moses is saying, or what God is saying through Moses. Everything you enjoy, all the necessities of life, they don't come from you. Ultimately, they come from God. It's like the man who argues with God saying, now science has improved so much that we can create life. All we need is certain proteins and we can create life from that. And God says, well, you make your own proteins. When we talk about making something from scratch, we mean making something from the basic materials or the basic ingredients. When was the last time you made something from nothing? You can't do it. You might say in your own life that you earn the money that you have to buy something. But who gave you the ability, the strength, the opportunity to work? Moses said, don't thank yourselves for what you have. Praise God. Everything that we have is from God. But not only the material things. In Romans chapter 6, verse 23, Paul says that the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus. And the list goes on and on and on. James expressed it like this in his book in chapter 1 verse 17. Every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of heavenly lights. If we see the origin of blessing elsewhere, even in ourselves, that's where our love and our praise and our worship will be. If we're thankful to God for all that we have, our love and our praise and our worship for him will grow. That's why we should praise God. We should praise him for all that he does for us, as well as all that he is. There's another question that's answered in this psalm, and it's this: how should we praise God? How should we praise God? There's an answer in verses 3 to 5. Praise him with the sounding of trumpet. Praise him with the harp and the lyre. Praise him with the tambourine and dancing. Praise him with the strings and the flute. Praise him with a clash of cymbals. Praise him with resounding cymbals. How should we praise God? We should praise him with everything that we have, with everything that we are. All manner of instruments and dancing are mentioned here. The name of the instrument is not important. Whether we have the full list is not important. It's the full range, everything that's important. The implication is that all that we are and all that we have can be used to praise God. Every gift that he has given us, every ability that we have, every resource that is available to us, we can use to praise him. We can worship God with everything that we have. There's not one right way to praise God. There's not one right style of song. There's not one correct act of service or one best type of gift. Praise and love for God come from the heart. As we give Him what we have, as we return to Him the things that He's given us, using our gifts and our abilities, we can learn to praise God as we choose to give Him thanks and acknowledge Him. We don't just praise God with our songs and our music. Here dancing is mentioned. But hear what Paul says to the believers in Rome, in Romans chapter 12, verse 1, where he says this: "Therefore I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy," that's the why we should praise Him, in view of God's mercy. And now this is the how. "In view of God's mercy, offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship." This, how we live our lives, what we do with our bodies, how we conduct ourselves in our relationships with others. This is our spiritual act of worship. We can't separate that from the songs that we sing. If we're singing the nice words but not doing the right thing with our behavior, it makes a mockery of what we're singing. No, we're called to praise God with all that we are and everything that we have. We praise Him with our commitment to Him, as we saw last week in Revelation. We praise Him as we do what He says with our obedience to Him. We praise Him as we turn from our sin. We praise Him as we forgive. We praise Him as we are honest and kind, and so on and so on. We praise Him with how we live our lives. How should we praise God? We should praise Him with everything that we have and anything that we have. There's another question that can be answered in this psalm of praise to God. And the next question is this: who should praise God? Verse 6 has an answer to that. Everything that has breath, everything that has breath, praise the Lord. The answer to the question, who should praise God? God should be praised by everyone. God should be praised by us all. Everyone should praise God, and God can be praised by everyone. Are you alive this morning? Praise God. Again, the implication is everyone. Everyone has reason to love Him. Everyone has reason to praise. That's why we exist. It doesn't matter what our background is. It doesn't matter what we have done or where we have been in life before this moment. We can choose today to praise God. We can choose today to come into His presence. We can choose today to give Him our lives. We can choose today to give Him the gifts and abilities that we have. We can choose today to give Him our time. We can choose today to act in a right way in praise to God. John chapter 3 verse 16 says this. It's a familiar passage to most of us. "For God so loved the whole world that He gave His one and only Son, that whoever believes in Him shall not perish but have eternal life." In that passage you have the whole world and you have the whoever. That's everybody. If you have breath to breathe this morning, praise Him for it. Everything else is a bonus. If you've never praised God before, you can choose to do so today. You can choose to open your heart to Him today. And just as we draw things to a close this morning, we just want to give you an opportunity to respond to God. And it's a twofold opportunity this morning. The first is this: maybe you've never praised God. Maybe you've never chosen, made that choice to praise Him for all that He's done for you and all that He is. You can do that this morning. You can start a journey with God that will take you not only the rest of your life, but it will take you into eternity. And secondly, maybe somewhere along the line, somewhere after that decision that you made to praise God, maybe that praise has grown cold in your life. But today you can make a decision to come back. You can make a decision to praise Him again. And we're just going to close our eyes just for a moment. And I'm just going to ask you to make that response if that is you this morning. And allow God to come in and to do that fresh work in your life today. So let's just close our eyes for a moment. And first and foremost, if that's you and you've never praised God before, you've never made that decision to worship Him, you can say yes this morning in your heart. And Lord, if there are any who are listening this morning, who are saying yes to You right now, I pray that You would come and meet with them, Lord, in Jesus' name. Come and start that journey with them. Be real to them. Receive their praise and be their Lord, we pray, in Jesus' name. And Lord, for any others this morning, maybe you've their praise for God that you once had has grown cold. And you want to reignite that this morning. You want to make that choice to praise Him this morning. If that's you, just say yes to Him in your heart. And Lord, I pray for those this morning. I pray that You would reignite that praise that was once there in their hearts. Reignite it this morning. Be real to them. Let them know You in a deeper way than they've ever known You before, we pray. In Jesus' name.